Cebu Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Muertos Northwest's 6th Annual Celebration Under the Bridge on Dia de los Muertos, Saturday, November 1st at 1 p.m. This year's celebration will include the creation of altars, sugar skull decorating, Muertos face painting for all ages, Muertos storytelling, and live music by Los Tex-Maniacs. Again, that's Muertos Northwest 6th Annual Celebration Under the Bridge, Saturday, November 1st from 1 p.m. to midnight at Audio Cinema, 226 Southeast Madison Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding.
I'm Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dimay Roberts, and this is Stage and Studio. You're listening to a cover of Strawberry Fields Forever by our guests, La Santa Cecilia. La Santa Cecilia is a Grammy Award-winning band from Los Angeles, whose musical influences include cumbia, klezmer, rock, and more. They're named for the patron saint of music, and I personally like to think of them as cumbia with a social justice twist. La Santa Cecilia is coming to Portland. They'll be at Star Theater at 8 p.m. on Sunday, October 26th. You don't want to miss this show. I'll be spending the next half hour chatting with La Santa Cecilia on the phone. We have Miguel Ramirez, and then we're also going to chat with Pepe Carlos. This is Stage and Studio. Well, welcome to Stage and Studio.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Just enjoying one of our very few days off.
Well, that was a lovely cover of Strawberry Fields. But before we get into that track, this is Miguel talking, Miguel Ramirez. Let's talk a little bit about you and the band.
Yeah, well, we're going on our 7th year now as a band. We're a group of people that met here in the city of Los Angeles, kind of working, you know, doing, just being working musicians, gigging in different kinds of styles of music, like salsa music, playing traditional bolero music, just all kinds of stuff, jazz, funk, rock. And Marisol and Pepe Carlos, who you'll talk to in a little bit, met at Olvera Street when they were young, playing traditional music, kind of like, you know, just busking and stuff like that for tourists.
What kind of music is traditional music? When you say traditional,
traditional Mexican music that they usually play at Olvera Street is you'll hear mostly bolero music, which is like romantic trio music, conjunto music, like norteño music from the northern part of Mexico, like Ramon Ayala and stuff like that. And, you know, that's what they would play. That's kind of like what they would work doing on the weekends when they were teenagers and stuff like that. So they've known each other for quite a while. Marisol, the singer, and myself met when we were like 18 and 19 playing in like a Spanish kind of pop rock group, and I hated it. So I ended up leaving the group and, you know, reconnected with her later on. And we kind of tried, you know, playing with different musicians when we reconnected. And, you know, tried, you know, different kind of incarnations of what would become La Santa Cecilia. And I knew Alex Bendaña, the bass player from Cal State LA. We went to school together. We were studying jazz and Afro-Latin music and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you know, slowly started coming together as we started talking about it, you know?
Right. And from what I understand, they call you Oso in the band, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your nickname?
I'm a big hairy guy, so and I would just like I guess act in my animalistic nature sometimes and get a little angry and stuff. So they would be like, "Cálmate, bestia," you know, "Calm down, you beast." And they started calling me Oso and stuff. So just became like this kind of cute nickname that I have now or whatever. But yeah, it's really funny though, you know.
Tell me more about the different styles of music. Who are some of the influential artists that you all draw from for your music?
Well, we have a lot, you know. We're really lucky to kind of have this bicultural experience growing up in the United States, where we grew up with all that traditional music that I talked to in our homes, and then also, you know, going and being, you know, in high school and middle school with our friends and our brothers and sisters that would listen to punk rock, that would listen to reggae, they would listen to bands like Santana and Zeppelin and all this stuff, right? So we would listen to just all that at the same time, and then not really thinking about it, I guess. And then, you know, growing up, you know, kind of learning how to play all these different styles, and then forming this idea, all these styles came together. You know, we mix anything from a bolero, a bossa nova, with the blues, with the jazz, with the classic, with the funk, with the reggae, and it's like somehow it all makes sense to us. And when we first started the band, we would mix like three or four different styles within one song sometimes, you know, kind of experimenting with different lineages of styles and music that we would, you know, we were influenced by. So we'll play just pretty much about anything that we're able to play, you know.
Right. And going back to the track we heard at the beginning, the Strawberry Fields Forever cover, for our listeners who haven't seen the video, it's essentially an animated form which pays homage to workers who pick strawberries. So, Miguel, tell us about the inspiration and all of the production that went into this cover. Miguel, are you there? Pepe, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you. Okay.
Is Miguel back on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you heard my question, but I was asking about the cover for Strawberry Fields Forever. It's a really touching tribute to those who pick strawberries in the fields, and I wanted you to describe the production that went into it.
Yeah, it was just a matter of us kind of, we would play that song to kind of fill in our set when we were starting out, because we didn't have enough original music. And as we started touring through like Northern California, we started kind of, you know, seeing a lot of the farms and the farm workers and the people working these fields. And, you know, they're migrant workers. And as you're driving through these strawberry fields, you see these people, and it just kind of, you know, took this meaning on to us of strawberry fields and of these workers and the people who are laboring these lands, and like kind of like the invisible part of our economy, you know. So we sat down and when we were doing our album for Sunday New, and we were like, let's record it, and luckily we were able to get permission to do so. And I don't know, the video, Pepe, you want to talk about the video part?
Sure, yeah.
Pepe, are you there? we lost him, but
okay.
So we just kind of talked about that idea, because we would talk about, that's how we would present the song when we would do it live. So our producer was like, "Oh, cool! This. Why don't we do like a video with that theme?" And we got together with our team and discussed the theme of the video and what we wanted to do. And then they came back with the idea of doing an animated video, and we were like, "Yeah, sounds cool," you know. So it was just we did this video with a group called Galeta Productions from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And they kind of send us these rough, you know, kind of ideas, and we went back and forth, and it came out great.
Right. It's on the video. It follows a basket of strawberries, like a day in the life of a basket of strawberries. And for our listeners, you should really check out this video. It's just lovely and really amazing. And switching gears for a second, your newest album is called Someday New. Tell us about this music and how it differs from your other albums.
Well, the two albums were kind of recorded in and around the same time. The thing with 30 Días, I think it was kind of like a representation of us as bicultural, you know, musicians growing up in the city of Los Angeles. So we kind of wanted something that represented what that meant, you know, to grow up like a traditional Latino person and as a traditional, like, let's say, a North American person in the States, and what that meant to growing up in Los Angeles. So it's kind of just a mixture of all those things, and it represents all our influences, and you know, we wanted to show, tell people, like, this is who we are, this is what it's like to come out of L.A., and this is what it's like to be a bicultural band out of L.A., you know? So that's 30 Días, and then Someday New kind of bridged, like, all those different traditional influences. You'll hear a son jarocho, you'll hear a ranchera, you'll hear some, like, kind of New Orleans type of swing music and stuff like that. So it kind of goes a little bit outside of the city and goes out to where our influences are from and kind of what you would listen to if you were in one of our homes, you know?
Right. And speaking of 30 Días, that was the album which won the Grammy for Best Latin Rock Album. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, first of all, felicidades. That's quite an honor and amazing. Tell us about the Grammy experience.
It was crazy. We were just, you know, we were in San Francisco playing, and then we got the news that we had been nominated, and we were just like, we couldn't believe it, you know? We were just tripping out on the whole situation, and then, you know, actually getting to go to the Grammys and being nominated with artists that we admired, like Café Tacuba and Illya Kuryaki and Amigos Invisibles, was huge for us. We couldn't believe it, you know? And then we got asked to actually perform on the pre-telecast part of the ceremony, and it was fun. So we got to, you know, perform and then stay on the side of the stage and then just wait to see if, you know, if we were going to win or not. And I was, like, on the side of the right on the side of the stage, which I'm sure the audience could see me, but I was just so excited, and there we were all nervous. And when they announced the category, you could barely hear it because the speaker was very muffled, and I was like, and I just heard La Santa Cecilia, 30 Días, and we were just, like, screaming and ran out on stage, and it was just, like, really exciting and very emotional, you know?
Absolutely. And for our listeners, if you're not aware, in fact, this group dedicated the Grammy to the 11 million undocumented people living and working in this country. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we just thought it was important to show, like, a positive face of what immigration is and means, and we know that it's a very touchy subject right now in the country, and, you know, politically sometimes we just get relegated to just being numbers and statistics, and people don't get to see our faces and what we're actually doing with our lives and how we're contributing in a positive way to this country. So we wanted to show that, you know, we're there winning an American Grammy, and that the Grammy organization, for example, had the vision enough to say, like, hey, these guys are doing something, and our peers were able to, you know, vote for us. And I meant a lot that, you know, people are recognizing the contribution that Latinos are making right now in this moment as a face of our country, you know? So we're just really happy to be able to represent that, and we felt that it was an important thing to do.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm guest host and producer Sarika Mehta, sitting in for DMA Roberts. If you missed any of this show, you can hear it again on stageandstudio.org. The track you're listening to is called El Hielo, Ice, and it's by our guests today, La Santa Cecilia, a Grammy Award-winning band from Los Angeles, who will be performing here in Portland at Star Theater on Sunday, October 26th at 8 p.m. We've been chatting with percussionist Miguel Ramirez, and we're going to turn now to Pepe Carlos. So, Pepe, are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. We're really happy to be going up north and playing Portland. We're also going to be playing in Seattle, heading down to San Francisco, and really excited for our Muerto Boogie Tour.
Right. This is part of the Muerto Boogie Tour. Tell us a little bit about the tour.
Well, we're definitely excited because it's part of celebrating Dia de los Muertos, and we hope that a lot of people come out because you're going to be dancing, you're going to be crying, you're going to be listening to rancheras, you're going to be listening to cumbia, some rock and roll, a little hip-hop here and there, and we're just really, really excited to be heading up north. It's our first time playing in Portland and as well as Seattle, so we hope a lot of people come out.
Absolutely, and again, that's October 26th at 8 p.m. at Star Theater. La Santa Cecilia will be performing here in Portland. We were just listening to the track El Hielo, which means ice. Before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your musical background, Pepe. You play the requinto and the accordion.
Yes, I play accordion, diatonic accordion, and requinto for La Santa Cecilia. Musical background, well, as Miguel had mentioned before, we, Marisol and I started playing and busking out on the streets of LA, particularly in this place called La Placita Olvera. And that was our, those were our teen years, and we were busking, playing at restaurants, and we love boleros, we love norteño music, we love mariachi music, but we also have a really strong influence from, like, listening to Nirvana, Metallica, and a lot of rock. So we mix it all up in there, and that's how we create La Santa Cecilia's sound, unique sound, I guess you can say. And and we have different influences from cumbia, rancheras, norteño, all that wonderful stuff from Latin America.
Absolutely. And as I said, this track we were starting to play is called El Hielo, which means ice, and in this case referring specifically to the Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency, like capital ICE. This is a really kind of a chilling track and a heartbreaking film in the music video, for those who haven't seen it. So explain this video and what went into its production.
Oh, it's definitely a special video for us, because we work with activists like Erika Andiola, who is in the process of, her mom's in the process of deportation, and all the members, all the cast were at some point undocumented or are still facing ICE or are in the process of being deported. So we really thank them for their valentía, for their courage to be on the video and to speak out against the ICE raids and what happens to us here in the city of Los Angeles and all over the U.S. when we have to face deportation, when the only reason we're here is because we want to provide a better life for our families and have other opportunities that we didn't have in our Latin American country. So it's definitely a special video, and I can relate to it because, as well, I was undocumented for about 25 years living in this country. And I think, like Miguel said as well, you know, we just want to put a positive reflection of what immigrants are here to do in this country, and that is to contribute to the country economically, culturally, and you know, we're hardworking people that just need an opportunity.
Absolutely. At the end of the music video, we come to learn, as you had just mentioned, that there are undocumented actors in the film. Some of them are in the process of deportation. Some of them are in holding. Do you have any updates or news on any of these folks?
I know that Erika Andiola, an activist here in Arizona, her mom's currently in a deportation process. But I guess everyone's just trying to be upfront with this issue and trying to fight their proceedings, and I think they're succeeding. So wish them the best of luck all the time, and we're also supporting different causes that help out immigrants in this country.
And as you said, this issue hits particularly close to home for you. From what I heard, that there were some, that your status prior to a couple years ago affected your band's ability to tour in certain roads. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. I was undocumented for about 25 years. I was brought to the U.S. at the age of 6 years old. I'm a native of Oaxaca, Mexico. And my parents just wanted to give us a better opportunity here in the States. And I lived undocumented for most of the time that I was in La Santa Cecilia. I just received my residency about 3 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. My wife was able to help me out with that. But I think one of the important things is that we can't never forget our undocumented family. You know, my brother's still undocumented. My parents are still undocumented. And they pay their taxes. They're hardworking people. They work in the dry cleaning business. And that's what they've been doing their whole lives. So we can't never forget that, and we still have to raise our voices in order for things to change, and in order so we can get an immigration reform for all these hardworking people.
a little bit related topic. We have this ballot measure here in Oregon called Measure 88, and it would be granting driver's cards to undocumented immigrants living here. I know that you all live in California, so it's a mildly different issue, but do you have any thoughts on that, on driver cards for undocumented immigrants?
You're talking about driver's license, right?
Right.
Yeah, yes, definitely. I think it would be something really positive and that would benefit not only the state, but everyone that lives in Oregon and also in California. They passed a law where everyone's going to be able to attain a driver's license. So it's going to bring in revenue for the state, and as well, it's going to help a lot of undocumented people. I used to drive. I had to get to work. Before I joined La Santa Cecilia, I was stopped. My car was impounded. I had to pay a fee of about $2,000. And it's really unfair. It's an unfair situation when the only thing that you leave home one day and out of nowhere a cop stops you because of a minor citation. And next thing you're paying $2,000, your car is getting impounded, and you're being treated as a criminal. So I think it's going to be definitely a positive thing. Hopefully we can all the people from Oregon can go and support this, so everyone can get an access to a driver's license. I think it's necessary, and I think it's something that must be done.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Well, back to your band's touring over the past 7 years, do you have any either greatest experience or most challenging experience stories from the road that you want to share with us?
Yeah, well, I think one of those things that we will never forget, and I'm really thankful and grateful for the band for always supporting me. We would have to drive, and we wanted to get our music out there. We wanted to go out to Texas, Chicago, and New York, but I was unable to travel. So our drives to Texas would take us about an extra 8 hours because we would have to make a slight detour in order so we won't be driving through the border, through the Arizona border or through the Texas border. So we would take a different highway in order to get to Texas, San Antonio, and Austin. And we did that for about 6 years. So I was able to get my DACA, my deferred action, and a work permit, and then I was able to travel. But I think it's one of those trips that has helped us learn so much from one another, and I think it was, as I said before, I'm really grateful for the band that they were always supportive, and here we are now traveling all over the states, traveling abroad. We just came back from Argentina. We went to Mexico for the first time, and I got to see my parents, I got to see my uncles, I got to see my grandfather, and that was definitely an exciting time in my life and for the whole band, you know, that we finally can and are able to keep on with our dream of playing music and sharing this wonderful music that we make over here in the States and sharing it with the rest of the world. We are now Grammy winners, and you know, it's just a reflection of what undocumented people are here to do, or immigrant people, or children of immigrants. You know, we're here to contribute, and we need that opportunity, and we can never forget that we all deserve the opportunity. We all have dreams, and I'm living my dream now, but there's 11 million undocumented people in this country that still need to be legalized, that are working hard to make this country run. My parents, as I said before, they work in the dry cleaning business, and this is just an example of how hot it is. If on a hot day here in California, it's 90 degrees. In there, it's about 105 degrees. So, and I've never heard my parents complain, or I've never heard my parents take a sick day or anything like that, or quit their jobs. No, they're grateful for having work, and that's just a reflection of how hardworking we are, and as immigrants, and we're just seeking an opportunity. And for all those people listening out there, we all have dreams, and And I had a dream, and I have a dream, and I'm grateful that I can follow that dream. But my brother also has a dream of traveling. Of he studies psychology. He also needs his residency. He also needs to fulfill that dream. So just support immigration reform, and because it's really important for to make this country a better country.
Thank you for sharing that, especially for our listeners who are interested in you all, the music, and as we approach Election Day. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your memories. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have. That's La Santa Cecilia band members Miguel Ramirez and Pepe Carlos joining me by phone. The whole band will be here performing in Portland this Sunday for their Muerto Boogie Tour, October 26th at 8 p.m. at Star Theater. Check out their website at lasantacecilia.com to hear more of their music. Miguel Ramirez and Pepe Carlos, thank you so much for chatting with me and sharing your stories here on stage and studio on KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll see you soon.
We will. Also coming up this Sunday, Theater Diaspora and Media Rights presents a staged reading with Chinese opera movement of Red by Che Yu this Sunday, October 26th at 7 p.m. in the Ellen Bai Studio at Portland Center Stage. The play, directed by Samson Siharath, was Chinese opera movement by Min Tran, features Winnie Hu, Kat Templeton, and Sumi Wu. Red centers on an Asian American writer traveling to Shanghai for inspiration, but she gets caught up in the political turmoil of the Cultural Revolution repression of art during this time. To reserve seats for Red by Che Yu this Sunday, October 26th at 7 p.m., visit pcs.org or call their box office at 503-445-3700. That's it for Stage and Studio. Super thanks to KBOO engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of this show, visit stageandstudio.org. You can also download shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet us at @stage_studio. I'm Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts. We're going to go out with another track by La Santa Cecilia called Monedita. Thanks for listening.
Support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. will transform that old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information, call 1-877-526-6123. That's 877-KBOO123. Or go to kbu.fm/vehicle.
To have a go, I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy Warhol looks a scream.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week is Dana Lynn Lewis. Her show Clearing is on now at the Ronna and Eric Hoffman Gallery of Contemporary Art at Lewis and Clark College. The show Clearing refers to energy clearing as well as other types of clearing, and it consists of multimedia, including photographs, glass, and video. Welcome to KBOO, Dana.
Thank you.
So this show, it has an awful lot going on in it. You've taken over the whole Hoffman Gallery, and there is a way kind of into it. The first room you enter, there are lots of small color photos on the walls, and each one has, it looks like a photo with drawing on it, usually white, sometimes black. They're kind of radiant fields that look a bit like magnetic fields, kind of swirls. Sometimes they're lines, almost like a bunch of threads that may be held together in one place. Just explain what you were doing when you made those photos.
It's a 365-day diary project that I started last year, the equinox, which was September 23rd. And my intention was to go around, take a photograph every day, and then come back to my drawing board, download into my computer, and then do a drawing on top of those photographs of the energy I've